This is the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast. Good morning on the 19th of September, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, joined today by Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller on the news, including the first harvest weather forecast of the season and some of the unique opportunities in agriculture beyond row crops that students might be interested in. The HAT podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Online, they're at ffbt.com to learn more. The Indiana Farm Forecast with HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin calls for another 2 days of the warm and dry weather, and the Thursday corn, bean, and wheat markets sold off again. Carl Setzer checks in with analysis on the HAT Friday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Equal opportunity lender. Member FDIC.
The upcoming harvest weather forecast and careers in the ag bioscience industry. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. The harvest window in Indiana is still open for now. It's time for the first harvest weather forecast of the season with HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin. It's presented by Beacon Credit Union.
Wishing all our farmers a safe and successful harvest, I'm Gus Lukens, your ag lender at Beacon Credit Union. Ag people serving ag people.
The window may be closing, but Martin says dry weather closes out the week.
On Friday and Saturday, we will continue to see well above normal temperatures, a southwest flow, not exceptionally breezy. A large-scale upper-level low sitting off to our west and northwest in the northern plains and upper Midwest, and it's going to be slowly but surely eking towards us, throwing some moisture in. But I am not looking at any kind of serious precipitation potential at all the way through Saturday night.
Martin says we finished the weekend with the first waves of that upper level low trying to rotate through the Great Lakes and Eastern Corn Belt.
I think on again, off again, scattered showers for Sunday is something we have to keep our eye on. Maybe only about 60 to 70% coverage, but moisture is there. It lingers through Monday and Tuesday. And so I think we're going to be looking at combined moisture to finish the weekend and start the week somewhere in that 10th to 1 inch range with coverage around 80 to 90% of the state.
Once that low dies out, Martin is watching another come in from the south.
It's got moisture coming off the Gulf of Mexico and rotating right up into Indiana, Ohio, Illinois. I'm looking for additional scattered showers in here next week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We're taking out the dryness as this next new system is dominating. I could be looking at some delays in harvest all the way through next week. Now, not getting overrun with rain, but just constantly seeing some rain threats around.
Catch Martin's full Beacon Credit Union harvest weather forecast in written form later today at HoosierAgToday.com.
Stop overspending on fertilizer. BioCast Max by BW Fusion helps growers cut up to a total 65 pounds of collective nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium per acre without sacrificing yield. BioCast Max is engineered to release nutrients that already exist in your soil, saving you up to $24 per acre. With BioCast Max, you put less in and get more out. This is how we farm now.
Learn more at www.bw-fusion.com/BioCastMax.
There are so many different careers in the ag bioscience industry, but college students may not be aware of the ones that focus on environmental studies and sustainability. CJ Miller has more.
I really want to work in conservation, and I know that conservation is such a big part of agriculture.
And that's Olivia Cartwright, a natural resources and environmental management major at Ball State University. She's also a Field Atlas Ambassador for Agrinovus, Indiana. She says she's passionate about conservation biology and soil sciences, and she's excited to make connections with ag business owners and managers that she may not have been able to make on her own.
Joining Field Atlas means I get exposed to the world of agriculture, and it will help me expose myself to other people and network and learn about the industry.
Olivia says her goal after graduating from Ball State is to work for an ag bioscience company that helps farmers with conservation practices and to be able to put more sustainability efforts into place.
Working with farmers to help increase their yield, but also protect their land and to make sure that we are creating relationships with the land and the economy of that land.
If you're a college student and would like to learn more about the Field Atlas program, visit myfieldatlas.com. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we take a look at the setup here near term, there's no changes. We've been talking very warm, very dry air all week, and it is still here. I think it stays all the way into and through tomorrow as well, even into early parts of Sunday morning. But the winds have changed. They are a-blowing. You've got an upper-level low that's kind of sitting and trying to die down to the west and north of us up in the upper Midwest, northern plains region. The remains of that will throw some moisture across the Great Lakes as we move into the Sunday time frame. Some scattered showers are going to be here. But almost as soon as that one finally dies down and moves off, we've got another low that forms down in Texas, Oklahoma, central plains area, tapping some Gulf moisture. And again, doesn't seem to be able to catch a good ride on the jet stream. So it's moving eastward slowly, and as it does so, it's going to be throwing rain up into our area through the rest of next week. So Monday, Tuesday, dealing with the remains of that northern plains system. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we're going to be easily in the throes of this low that's trying to track through the Mississippi and Tennessee valleys, bringing moisture up from the south. That could be enough to keep rain in the forecast for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of next week. Wow, multiple days back-to-back with some fairly significant moisture potential. For the week, I don't think we're looking at big totals over 1 or 2 inches, and it's going to be coming nice and slow, but that means we are also looking at some fairly easily discernible delays in harvest starting next week across the region. Now, once we get into the next week, the week of the 29th, we're probably going to dry down early on for a little bit, probably dry for Sunday the 28th, Monday the 29th, and early Tuesday the 30th. Then we've got a frontal boundary coming in from the west and northwest. Has some moisture with it, but it's also holding back significant air mass change. Much cooler air trying to come across the northern plains and upper Midwest with Canadian high pressure. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
When it comes to their customers, Seed Genetics Direct can be a little nosy. They want to know where you live, your farm's geography and soil type, and even your environmental challenges. After all, Seed Genetics Direct uses more than 40 company-owned and third-party research locations throughout Indiana and Ohio to test their corn and soybean lineups. And with that many research locations, there's at least one similar to your farm that will help Seed Genetics Direct guide you on the path to growing success. Value, knowledge, performance, it's in their genetics. Seed Genetics Direct.
Markets sell off yet again. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Thursday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank, and the review is brought to you by Performance Livestock Analytics, helping Indiana cattle producers run more efficient cattle operations with real-time data on feed, health, and performance, all in one easy-to-use app. Final numbers from Thursday trade coming up. First, at the end of the session, I checked in for market analysis with Carl Setzer at Consus Ag Consulting. Wednesday, a sell-off, and the markets on Thursday back down a little lower in the grain markets and over a nickel off in soybean futures. Probably a number of factors. Carl, starting with what?
Well, first of all, the weekly export sales, you know, they were good numbers, but they were right in line with what trade was expecting. No bullish surprises there at all. And once again, no Chinese trade. That is starting to become a little bit of a concern. Now, we do have trade talks tomorrow between President Trump and President Xi. So we'll see. Maybe we'll get a ceremonial purchase out of that, or maybe come Monday or over the weekend. So A little bit of optimism there. Today, though, really a risk-off type attitude has hit the entire market and several markets, really. We have corn, soybeans, and wheat all favoring the downside along with the products. Switch over, look at the energy market turning lower here, and we've got a gold complex that's posting losses on the top side of $40 an ounce. Just a lot of money coming out of the outside markets, starting to slip back into the equities. We did get that interest rate cut yesterday from the Fed. 25 basis points, not really exciting, but it does show that the Fed is staying on top of what the current economy is doing. We do have some indicators long-term that are showing some doubts, but we're not there yet. In the meantime, it did draw quite a bit of managed money back into that equity market.
Thursday's stronger dollar index, did that add a little bit of pressure?
Yeah, the dollar putting some pressure on the commodities from the export market front, but we have to look at it long term. That's really not the worst thing. You don't want the US dollar staying so low that we lose our buying power, and that's where we were starting to get on the index. To see it firm up a little bit as we start to shop the global market for our fall fertilizer needs wouldn't be the worst thing. And as we're talking about imports, we got to look at that Mississippi River. Draft restrictions dropped another foot today, starting to cause some concern over the cash market on the interior side, and that put pressure on the futures as well.
Give us an update from your perspective, Carl, on harvest results that are coming in. It's early, of course, and not fully ramped up, but just some general thoughts on what things are looking like.
Yeah, we're starting to get a lot more data coming in, and it is not that positive, and it really doesn't match up to what the USDA has put out. A lot of treated fields for fungicide, for the southern rust, and for tar spot. Fields that were treated still seeing losses of up to 20 bushels per acre on corn. Untreated fields seeing upwards of 50 bushels per acre losses. A lot of reports coming in that my crop is going to be as good as last year, but probably not better. That really has the market kind of worked up on the corn side. You're not seeing it today because the simple fact we have harvest taking place puts some seasonal pressure on the market. The one to really watch is soybeans, though. Reports of soybean moisture content coming in from that 8 to 10% mark, and this is across the entire Corn Belt. That's causing some shatter and likely will cause some storage concerns as we move forward.
We are seeing plenty of back and forth in the livestock markets. Can you explain or not?
Looking at livestock, we have a real fine line there that trade is trying to walk. We have very low cattle numbers. We do get a cattle on feed tomorrow after the close, so we'll be watching that to see if we started to build it all. But we are seeing relatively low cattle numbers. We're seeing relatively low beef inventory, but you're starting to see a feeder that's just saying, I can't afford these replacements at this cost, and they're backing away from the market. Starting to see a little more worry about long-term beef between that protein and pork and chicken really starting to get out of line. Hogs have been also walking a two-sided trade here. U.S. pork reserves continue to decline, but China stating that they will likely start culling their hog herd again, cutting our long-term demand forecast. As long as we see these two-sided conflicts from the supply and demand side, I expect to see this two-sided trade in livestock continue.
Carl Setzer commentary. He's at Consus Ag Consulting. The number is 989-506-1587. On the Hat Thursday market review, the settlements. Dece and March corn contracts go down 3 cents. Dece at 423 and three quarters. March settles at 441 and a half. 6 and a quarter lower November beans, 1037 and a half. And January, 1056 and a half, a loss of 6.5 cents. 4 cents down, December wheat, 524 and a quarter. October live cattle, 232.37. That was up $1.27. 15 cents better for October lean hogs, 97.47. And that's a check on the markets. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.